So technically, we're coming to the end of one of the strangest springs ever.
Indeed.
It's been a doozy.
It has. And we're looking forward to summer. We've had some beautiful weekends. What'd you do, Mariah, this weekend?
I had a pretty interesting weekend, actually. I was invited to judge the Miss Harbor Cities competition, formerly known as a pageant. Don't use that word anymore.
Really? They don't use pageant anymore?
Don't make me go into it, but there's this long thing with Miss America, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they call it a competition now.
Okay.
They're not contestants, they're candidates. Anyway, I was in the Harbor Cities area, which is the Manitowoc Two Rivers area.
Okay.
And because of COVID, I had to judge the pageant virtually. So all of the candidates would perform from their home. Like they'd perform their onstage talents in their yard or in their living room. Their parents like helped them clear out the living room. And then we crowned, like everyone came back on the Zoom call at the end and we announced the winners live on Facebook. It was super interesting and, in my opinion, very innovative of the volunteers up there who put that together, where everyone else is canceling their competitions.
Yeah.
Slash
did they save this on video so people can see it somewhere?
I believe they did. I don't know that it's viewable publicly. There is a Facebook live stream. You can go to Miss Harbor Cities if you're really interested in watching this, Eric.
And I'm just, well,
was there
two reasons, but one of them is the logistics of how that actually
works.
Yeah. Was there any talent that particularly took advantage of filming it remotely?
We talked about that because back when I competed, I said I would have died to have been able to just record my talent and send it in.
Yeah.
It's like you
kind of do that for a living now, you know.
I know. Yeah, kind of. But back then, it's like you had one take on stage and that was what you got. So I imagine, I mean, I think they all had that advantage though. It was there. But what was cool is that some of the candidates would go into, like, there was one girl who sang Ave Maria and she went to a church. So, like, that was the background.
Wow. Oh, nice.
And so it was cool to see how they took, you know, some of them did it in their garage. I saw a lyrical dance done in her garage, and I saw some people singing opera in what looked like a small venue near their hometown. So it was interesting to see how they all interpreted the virtual competition. We couldn't take any of that into consideration when we judged them, but it was very cool. It was very cool. I was really proud of them.
Was it harder to judge a virtual versus when everybody's in one venue?
I don't know about harder. There's a certain magic of being, you know, in a theater with the electric nature of the audience behind you. And the adrenaline of like someone winning this huge scholarship on stage is life-changing. It's cool to be able to see that in person. And I will say we had to sit in a room for like 12 hours on a gorgeous day in a windowless room judging this. So that's my volunteer philanthropy for the month. But yeah, it was cool.
So kind of how it's cooler that we're all in one room again.
Another windowless room.
We are in a windowless room.
Story of my life.
What is my life? Yeah, that's definitely Dave's life.
The windowless cabin. Yeah, and Dave, you're always in there in your audio tank.
Sorry about that, Dave.
Well, this is easily the least on topic we've ever been for intros.
Yes, it definitely is.
I suppose we have.
But very interesting.
Let's steer this.
I'm Eric Paulson. She's Mariah Haberman.
You missed
He's
my pun.
He's audio Dave,
dang.
And she's Ellen. What?
I said a pun, and you didn't even hear it.
What was the pun?
Take two.
I said, let's...
It's going to be even better the second time.
Let's steer this back to our campfire conversation, which is all about...
Oh, my God. Road trip destinations.
Oh, anyway. Yes. Dang.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about some barbecue stuff earlier. When you said steer, I thought we were going somewhere meat-like.
Well, some of them on our list... No, they don't. Never mind. I was thinking we had restaurants, but we don't. Okay, anyway, today's campfire conversation is all about Wisconsin road trip destinations, which, Eric, you're going to kill this. I just know it. This is like, you know a lot about Wisconsin in general, but this is like your top.
What my statetrunktour.com website is all about, and that's what got
subtle
me hooked up
plug.
With Discover Wisconsin
subtle
in the
plug.
First place. Damn right, it's a subtle plug. Actually, it's a very overt one, but that's fine. And so we're talking about journeys as much as destinations, because really the road trip is the fun part.
It's all about the journey.
It is. All right. The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association. This week, we're featuring Winnebago County. Now, interesting piece of history here. The name Winnebago is of Algonquin origin.
Wait, Can you please emphasize Winnebago?
Winnebago.
Winnebago.
So the name Winnebago is of Algonquin origin and means people dwelling by the fetid or ill-smelling water. Boy, they know how to market it.
Yeah.
Which may have referred back in the day to a natural sulfur spring. But what's interesting is there's a lot of water in Winnebago County. Of course, a big chunk of Lake Winnebago is in Winnebago County. And then a lot of like Lake Butamore, Lake Poygan, a lot of the chain along the Fox River are in Winnebago County. Great fishing spot, great water recreation spot. Oshkosh has been the county seat since 1853. At the time, it had about 2,800 people. Now it has about 66,000. EAA is there, the Experimental Aircraft Association. They're not only located there, but they have their annual, of course, AirVenture, except for this year, of course, because everything's canceled this year. But they normally have EAA. It's the world's largest fly-in. And for a while, Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh is one of the busiest airports in the world, by the way, during EAA with all the takeoff and landing operations. Total, Winnebago County does have 30 lakes and the Fox and Wolf Rivers going through the county, but they are not all fetid or ill-smelling waters. They're actually great recreation and fishing spots. So
I wonder if it was named that when they were like, we have enough people here. We're not trying to get tourists in. What's the
Well, they didn't think about tourism name back when they were naming these things. Also, if you drive a Winnebago, like the RV, know the name origin of that thing.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. And so next week we're featuring another county, of course, but here's a trivia question in the meantime.
Ooh.
The county we're featuring next week is known as one of Wisconsin's original two counties.
Oh.
The hint is that it is not Crawford County, because of course that's what you would have guessed, right? Well, if you know what county we're talking about next week, leave a review with the answer.
Wait, why would we guess it's not Crawford?
Because there's two. So there's like two original Wisconsin counties, and I'm telling you which one it's not.
Oh, and Crawford is one of the original two counties. Ooh, okay. I got you now.
I think I know what the other one is, but...
You better.
I won't spoil it. Okay. Hmm. Shall we fire up the campfire, Mariah?
Let's do it. So summer's pretty much here, kind of, sort of.
Meteorological summer's here. The technical summer solstice is in several days.
As soon as it hits 80 degrees, I'm like, summer is here. Done.
It's felt like summer.
It has
we got the
definitely.
Green leaves and the blue lakes. It's beautiful outside. It's summer.
Yes. And I love a good road trip in the summer. I am a big fan of road trips. I know they're not for everybody, but I genuinely love them. I especially love them this year because I know a lot of people are trying to think about what their vacation is going to look like in this post-pandemic world or mid-pandemic world.
Yeah,
we don't know yet.
We don't know. But we can, I mean, I see no reason why road trips can't be part of the equation. They're pretty safe.
It's one of it's one of the safest vacations you can go on.
I think so.
You're pretty much sticking to your car and you can social distance when you visit places.
Gas is really low right now.
Yeah.
It is. Well, it's gone back up. It's back above $2 in most places now. But I remember the days. I remember back when gas was only 89 cents a gallon, kids.
I saw
when was this 2 months ago.
There was a tweet the other day that was like, I cannot believe I had the audacity to be angry that gas went back up to $1.50 a gallon. You're all mad about it.
Do you remember that? We got so used to like gas for under a dollar.
I know.
When it went back to triple digits.
Like, what is this? The economy is working right now? What?
Now I reveal my age here, but I'm old enough to remember the first time gas went over $1 a gallon.
Oh, wow.
It was 1979, and I remember the news guy standing in front of the gas pump showing that the gas was $1 a gallon. Everybody's like, what's this world coming to?
Gosh, so, I remember when it hit almost $4,
I think. It was $4.25 for a while.
Gosh.
So.
Yeah, I ran out of money at a gas station. I was like 19, and I had to talk my dad into coming to pay for it because it was really expensive. And Dad, I forgot money.
Yep. I think when I got my first car, I was, I only have a 20 in my pocket.
Yep.
Guess I'll just get a couple gallons.
Yeah, I'll get home and that's about it. Yeah.
I think we all have those stories.
Well, gas is historically speaking quite reasonable right now. So it's a great time to fill up and hit the road and check out some scenic highways and byways. Do I know what a byway technically is? Not really.
Yeah.
Everybody says byway.
I just Googled this over the weekend.
I thought it meant like a four-lane road, but no, it's just
that. A byway is actually what you probably think of as a highway. Highways are something that other roads can intersect with. So you think about like smaller highways where there's that crossroad.
Right.
A byway is something that you can only access with the given on-ramps and off-ramps.
Like a freeway.
Oh,
except so basically a byway is a limited access road, but it's not a freeway.
I think I'm remembering incorrectly.
Okay.
And I apologize to everyone.
So we still don't know what a byway is.
Yes, we're ope indeed.
Okay, well,
I'm going to have to Google this again.
Why don't we start with what has been deemed one of America's most beautiful byway, whatever that means, since we don't know what byway means.
You can go in either direction, I guess.
We've got to start with the Great River Road.
Of course. Why not start with the most obvious
one,
right?
The most iconic, yes. So this is Wisconsin's National Scenic Byway, voted one of America's most 10 most scenic drives by the Society of American Travel Writers. They seem like a pretty credible group.
I would say so. Mm-hmm.
So Wisconsin's segment of the Great River Road is 250 miles, and it traverses through about 33 historic river towns, all the way from Prescott down to the Dickeyville area of southwestern Wisconsin.
So it's a beautiful drive. Most of it's Highway 35, but not all of it.
Right.
And when you go down, it goes through Trempealeau. Did I say that right?
Trempealeau.
God, I always do
that. You do, and it's charming. Can you just stick to Trempealeau because it's just cute? All right.
While we're making mistakes, a byway is a secondary road.
I also just Googled it.
So we kind of sort of had it.
It was pretty far off.
I think I'm the only one without a laptop handy to look all this stuff up. That's why I only seem the dumbest.
Dave, you stole my thunder. I had it up too.
I pretty confidently said the wrong thing, so I apologize.
When you show confidence, you can say the wrong thing and people will believe.
Yeah.
So back to the Great River Road.
Yes.
Most of it's Highway 35, but not all of it. And especially in the southern part of the state, you will end up on some county highways by Wyalusing State Park near Trempealeau.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cut through Perot State Park and the Trempealeau Hotel, but it will leave Highway 35 for a
bit. You're doing so good.
So I'm really thinking about
this. Every time he needs us to be like, yup.
I will laugh so hard if you were right the whole time. And I was always.
Who knows, right? And down near Potosi, it does leave Highway 35 county roads and State Highway 133, which includes Cassville, which has that ferry, a free ferry that goes across the Mississippi River.
Yes.
And also the Potosi Brewing Company in St. John's Mine in Potosi, which are both really great places to visit.
So many cool spots. I want to shout out Fountain City. Mm-hmm. And there's an iconic bar in Fountain City that we are going to talk about in next week's episode. Definitely worth a stop. Now, I know people will ask which part of... I'll be curious if you have an opinion on this. If they only have got a day or maybe even just a weekend, where should they prioritize on the Great River Road? I've had people ask me, should I start in the southern segment or the northern segment? By the way, if you go to WIGRR.com, I'm going to check that. They've got two great downloadable maps.
And itineraries.
So you can download the northern part of the Great River Road and the southern part of the Great River Road. Obviously, you could do all of it, but I mean, that's you just really booking it down the Great River Road and not really stopping in the towns. And I would definitely recommend you.
Yeah, if you're going to stop and smell the roses, this is a 2-day trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming the break in the segments north versus south is La Crosse.
I think you're right. Around there. Mm-hmm. I can double check.
Across on Alaska, that area.
I think so.
Boy, it's a tough call, and it's close, but I would go with the northern segment between La Crosse and Prescott because there's a few more towns than the southern segment, and the bluffs are that much more dramatic. The river's a little narrower at that point, so you see both sides. And you go by Lake Pepin, which is truly one of the most beautiful spots along the drive.
So beautiful. I love Alma. They've got a really great overlook there.
Yes. At a lock, too.
Yes.
So you can watch the railroads, you can see the town, and you can watch the lock in action all at the same time.
And the trains.
Going right under you.
It really is crazy to think how much is packed into this scenery, if you think about it. I mean, we're talking about towns along the way, aside from La Crosse, towns that vary from 66 people in places like Stockholm to maybe 200, really tiny towns, most of them. So
And they're very narrow because they're wedged between the bluffs and the water.
Yes, and
a
lot of the homes sit up into the bluffs. That always kind of got me. Where I grew up was not flat, but I mean, it much more so than over on the Great River Road. And seeing those homes up in the bluffs, I always thought was really cool. But I love the Fountain City area. I love Alma. That Stockholm, we've talked about the General Pie store, that's the Stockholm General Pie store that's very popular there. Southern region, I know you made it to Potosi for an episode, right?
Oh, yeah.
That looked like a good time. So that's, again, getting to the southern part in Prairie du Chien. You can't go wrong at places like Wyalusing. There's just Yeah, I would say you would be spending at least 2 days, like really covering the Great River Road. And if you want to make a stop in like at least four towns, that's what I would do. I'd cover it in at least 2 days.
You know, another road that kind of follows a river that's a good drive and good little Wisconsin road trip journey is the western half of State Highway 60 here in Wisconsin. Now, 60 goes all the way over to Grafton at Lake Michigan and comes all the way across the state. It's what I like to call a coast-to-coast route. But the western half of it is part of, that's another Wisconsin scenic byway. And you, essentially a good place to start would be west of Lodi, right about at the, where Highway 60 crosses the Wisconsin River. And that's at Prairie du Sac and Sauk City. Mm. And just off 60 on 188, you have the Wollersheim Winery, mm-hmm. which is, that's become an iconic winery in the state. It's huge.
Famous.
It's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. They've added a distillery in the last few years. They have a little cave that's built into the hills, and it's beautiful, and you have such a great variety of things you can try there and some great tours. And then they have a vintage brewing company opened a tap house in Sauk City. And there's a lot of
Driftless Glen.
Yes, Driftless Glen.
Another great one. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of real beauty
in those two
towns. By the way,
all these spots we recommend, maybe ending your trip there and then spending the night in Sauk. Starting anew the next day.
You can go either way. It is a byway.
I just meant...
I'm just habitually going west.
The distillery / winery.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you may not want to kick off your trip.
Yeah, that'd be a little rough.
Just, you know, we're just letting you know what's available.
We're just letting you know. Exactly.
Road trip responsibly.
Yes.
Totally.
Exactly. 60 does go west. It basically follows the northern bank of the Wisconsin River all the way over from that point. And that includes stopping at Spring Green. So you brush the northern half of Spring Green at US 14 right there. And so you can cut down and check out Taliesin. You can check out House on the Rock. They're just a little bit to the south on Highway 23, but you're right there. And there's a cool drive in there called Rumble Seats, cool rock and roll drive in.
I love it.
Along 60. You go to Gotham, not Gotham, but yep. Gotham. That's Ooh. Where 60 branches off of 14, which is a very small little town, but there's a couple cool bars there that's really popular with the motorcyclists. Because this is a very popular route for bikers.
Honestly, I think all of the ones we have on our list today are definite motorcyclist favorites.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And then 60 really goes, you go past Eagle Cave, you go up. That goes all the way to Wyalusing State Park and Prairie du Chien too.
Nice.
And another great drive that's a branch right off of 60 near Wazika is Highway 131. Mm. And that is by far one of my most favorite drives because you are in the heart of the Driftless area. You follow the Kickapoo River, which is the crookedest river in the world, as they say. Mm-hmm. You go through a ton of beautiful small towns. You end up in Toma if you go all the way to the end.
Okay, I got you.
You go through a whole series of little towns like Viola, and you go actually right through Wilton, which is one of the towns along the El Rey Sparta Trail. And if you want to just go lace your way through the Driftless area and go over the Kickapoo a million times and have a ton of great recreational opportunities and picture opportunities, the Kickapoo Valley Scenic Preserve is there. That's another great drive to take.
You will have no self-service or very little self-service on that highway.
I think for some, that's the point.
Yes, I agree. I'm just letting people
download
know.
Download the Google map before you go.
It's not the case for everybody. And if you're listening to this podcast, download it before you go on these road trips just to make sure it's on your phone. And I like that area too, Eric, just because I've always really loved and appreciated Amish culture. And you do come across quite a few Amish families and farms in that area of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I want to take us to a different corner of the state. I know we're giving a lot of love to the Driftless for good reason. Mm-hmm. Great road trip area. But I want to talk about Highway 42, another iconic.
Yes.
Not a byway, just a highway, right?
Yeah, that's more of a highway.
Okay, cool. So I want to start us off in...
Not a freeway.
Manitowoc East Central Wisconsin. So in Manitowoc...
Thanks for knowing the state real well, Mariah.
So in Manitowoc, I want to mention just a couple of places to stop to as we have been, just because I want to make sure we weren't just all about kind of staying on the highway. So in Manitowoc, a lot of cool things to do. We've done quite a few segments in that area. The most iconic destination in my mind is probably the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. Mm-hmm. Very cool museum. You can actually go into a submarine. It's super cool. It's not actually under, I don't think it's under. Maybe just underwater.
Part of it is.
Part of it is underwater.
The USS Cobia. Yeah.
Yes. And you can also, while you're there, watch the SS Badger come in. It's a very iconic Manitowoc experience.
And that car ferry is a continuation of US 10, too. That's part of the US highway system.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm. There's only two instances in the country where that happens.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, that's so interesting. So from Manitowoc, you're going to head north and go through Two Rivers and Kewaunee, which is home to the world's tallest grandfather clock.
Yes, I have many pictures. It's pretty cool.
How tall is it?
36 feet. It was built in 1976 by a local wood manufacturer, furniture manufacturer, I believe.
And it used to be right out at their store.
Yes. And then they reassembled it around 2013, not too long ago.
They disassembled it and moved it. Yeah, it was down for a couple of years, and then they reassembled it closer to downtown.
Yeah.
Right at the trailhead of the Onapee State Trail.
I wanted to talk about these couple of towns first on Highway 42, because I think when people normally think Highway 42, they go straight to Gills Rock and Door County. And I want to encourage people to think about starting your trip maybe even a little more south of Door County, just because that area of Wisconsin, in my opinion, I know people know of it, but I think it tends to fly under the radar. The Algoma, Kewaunee.
Especially since 43 and 57 are all four lane up to Door County. A lot of people in Milwaukee go to Green Bay and then shoot over on 57. Now that 42 drive takes you through those cool lakeside towns.
Yes.
Two Rivers, for example, you got to check out historic Rogers Street Fishing Village.
Oh yeah.
If you go through there, there's a lot of maritime history on all of these towns. Yes. And you're talking about Kewaunee, Algoma, actually great little shopping district downtown. Mm-hmm. And you can follow 42 or even S to cut in towards Sturgeon Bay. And then of course you have the classic 42 drive in Door County.
Yep.
But what's really cool about 42 is toward the end, it's one of the few state highways that just ends by itself and nothing else is around, but it has to because it goes
runs
all
out of land.
The way to the tip. Mm-hmm. And there's something you get kind of this exciting end of the world feel when you're going up 42, because with every passing road, once you're past about Ellison Bay and you pass Gills Rock, that's the only road pretty much. And
you made it.
You can't go anywhere else. And then one of the coolest stretches of road I say in the country is that very end of 42. Where it's a slalom drive.
Mm-hmm.
It literally zigzags back and forth for about a mile. And most people have seen pictures.
Oh, I'd hope so. If you have not seen
photographers love taking pictures of that stretch.
Yeah. Good luck trying to get a picture of it without anyone or any cars in it these days, because it is pretty popular. But it's stunning. It was designed by a landscape architect named Jens Jensen, who also founded the Clearing Folk School. I didn't know that until about a week ago.
Either.
It's a stunning school. I actually really want to do a show there. But it's a really cool art school up there in Door County. And Jens Jensen just had, I guess, that's the rumor. That hasn't actually been confirmed. I think there was some other rumor that people thought they designed the road that way because of the telephone poles or something. They were trying to get out of the utility poles, evidently. But then I guess the more popular, and I have to believe this is the more obvious route, is that Jens Jensen designed it this way because it was beautiful.
Either that or the workers clearing the trees went to the bars the night before
tipsy.
And carved a zigzag pattern on. They said, all right, just pave it like that. That's fine. But when you get to the end, you can actually take the ferry to Washington Island, or otherwise you're at the tip of the mainland. You go to that dock that's there and you look at the land and you know you're at the very, very, very end of land.
And then you can take the other way down. I always like to go up Door County one way and come back down the other way.
Yeah, Sister Bay, you can come down 57 and go through Bailey's Harbor, which is also an incredibly beautiful
place. You can't go wrong in Door County, that's for sure. Yeah.
And there's a ton of others, but I think we're running out of time. Is that right, Ellen?
Already?
Well, you know, this whole segment, we've been talking about road trips and all these things, but you know what sound we haven't used, Dave?
I know, I was wondering about that audio,
I think we should
Dave.
Just wrap it up with that beautiful sound bite.
That's better.
This week, we're giving some love to the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association. The WCGA is a united, grassroots-driven member organization representing growers from Wisconsin on important state and national agricultural issues in an effort to increase member opportunity. That was a long sentence. This organization is dedicated to providing as much assistance and information possible to Wisconsin corn growers. You can check them out at their website, wicorn.org, to learn more about the organization, become a member, and learn about different farmer aid programs that are currently in place.
You got the extended remix of that audio, Dave? I like that tune.
Yeah, I could send that over.
We call it a sting in the biz. All right, we are back. It's not just Mariah and I right now. Three hosts are together in one podcast right now. Isn't that amazing, Mariah?
2 weeks in a row, I think.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Let's bring him in, our newest Discover Wisconsin host, Jack Taylor. Hey, Jack.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is your first season with Discover Wisconsin, so I know you're excited because there's so much cool stuff that awaits. But you got to jump into Toma in this episode that we're actually going to be showing this weekend. And so we'll be talking about that, but for a lot of people who may not be familiar with you yet, tell us a little more about you and what everybody should know about you.
Sure. Well, like you said, I'm a newbie here at Discover Wisconsin. I'm from rural Wisconsin. So I grew up as a small town Wisconsin boy in Black River Falls, which is, you know, right between Eau Claire and La Crosse, west central Wisconsin. And I went to college in Iowa. And about 3 years ago, I moved back to Wisconsin to my hometown and got connected with Discover Wisconsin, and which is really exciting for me because growing up, I really didn't truly get to get the Wisconsin experience, right? Because I grew up loving basketball so much that I just spent all my time in the gym. So I didn't travel. I didn't sightsee. I didn't do, you know, try different foods. Like, it was just basketball, basketball, basketball.
You were exercising, Jack? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to be eating and fishing.
Yeah. And then I was in Iowa. I was stuck in Iowa for like 5 or 6 years. So I didn't get to have the Wisconsin experience. But now that I'm, you know, one of the hosts here at Discover Wisconsin, I finally get to have those Wisconsin experiences that I missed out on growing up. And I love it because it really, it means that my experiences are actually, you know, genuine. You know, I don't have to fake it. Like, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that I've never tried or seen, which makes my job as a host a little bit easier.
Well, it's funny because when you do host on this show, you do expose yourself to experiences you
totally
wouldn't have tried yet, or maybe would have never tried.
And I think you'll find even when you're a little bit more of a veteran and you're going to some of these places second, third, even fourth time, it's amazing. It has been amazing to me anyway, just how new those experiences still tend to be when you go back again and again. I mean, that's what I've learned, you know, being kind of, you know, 7 seasons in with this show. It never gets old to
me. Trip once to a place isn't enough. Yeah.
I don't think so.
You will uncover more almost everywhere you go.
So when I first came across Jack's name, so this is kind of a little bit of the peek behind the curtain here. My boyfriend Jackson is from Black River Falls, and so I'm somewhat connected to that community.
A Jack and a Jackson, from Jackson County. There's a theme going on here.
That's true. And anytime I would say, oh, I think I'm going to go meet with this Jack Taylor character, kind of see what he might bring to the table, and everyone kept bringing up your basketball. And I was just like, okay, I get it. He plays basketball. Cool. And then when I sat down with you, you were really humble about it and a little shy about it, but you had this insane record at your high school. So I want to talk about that because it has been funny to me anytime I still bring up that you're on the show and anyone in Black River Falls is like, oh, that's Mr. 138.
Yeah. So it was actually in college. So I went,
oh, college.
Like you say, I mean, like I said before, I went to school down in Grinnell, Iowa at Grinnell College. So yeah, I mean, I was, you know, a good high school basketball player in Wisconsin. Could have went to a lot of the UW schools at the Division III level, but decided to take my talents down to Grinnell, Iowa, where, you know, it was a town of 3,000 people. But what they offered as a basketball program is they shot a lot of three-pointers. And, you know, maybe Mariah, you saw me in that coffee shop in downtown Black River, and you were probably surprised how short I was.
That didn't cross my mind.
Yeah. I mean, when anyone meets me.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at her expression, Jack.
When anyone meets me, right, they knew that I scored 138 points in a college basketball game, and they just look at me kind of in disappointment and say, man, I thought you would have been taller. But they shot a lot of
threes.
Hey,
I like that message. It doesn't take height.
That's right.
You had the talent and you did it. And I think that's awesome.
It's not skills, the size of the dog in the fight, right?
And then I saw you.
That's on YouTube, by the way. I saw that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a YouTube video of it.
Now I got to go look it up.
You have to check it out.
Well, I saw you share a video. And I know we're getting way off topic here, but this is... You know, this is interesting.
This is the cabin. This is what we do.
This is the cabin. This is what we do. That should be our tagline. We go way off topic. But you had shared a video about your reaction to Kobe Bryant's death. And there was a clip in there of Kobe being asked about your game, which I thought was insane that this legend references you.
Yeah. And growing up, he was my guy. I mean, all these athletes have their guys. And Kobe was my guy. So, yeah, after my game... You know, it hit national headlines right away, and a lot of NBA players were just talking about it. And that night, One of the reporters in the locker room asked or just told Kobe that, hey, some college kid from Iowa scored 138 points. And his reaction was awesome because he was impressed by it. You know, there was, as you might imagine, through that type of record, a lot of people...
It looked genuine.
Yeah. And a lot of people were criticizing me for taking so many shots. It wasn't a normal basketball game. Like, the game was set up. So, like, these... there was a lot of criticism. And for Kobe to, you know, be surprised and be impressed and, you know, that was my guy, that made me feel really good.
Well, I won the Hoops for Heart Challenge in the fifth grade, and I did more hula hoop things and jump roping things than any other kid in that grade.
So same.
I played horse in
yes,
class.
Yes, basically same. The same. Just trying to keep Jack humble.
We should
make
just
sure
have a
knows.
Big Discover Wisconsin game of horse.
No, I would prefer not to do that.
So not,
unless I play
Sotoma?
Eric or someone else. Well, that's awesome. Thank you for giving us that background, just because I think it's really interesting and fun. And I also love that you came back to Black River and you are giving back to Black River in a huge way. I love. Can you, before we forget, shout out some of your social media handles, because I love following some of the stuff you're doing.
Yeah, totally. So everywhere, except TikTok. I know, Mariah, you're recently on TikTok. I'm not
on
TikTok yet, but maybe
totally
soon.
Get on TikTok.
Maybe soon. It's at JackTaylor138 everywhere.
Yeah, no.
Where's the 138 from? Oh, wait, never mind.
Okay, let's talk Toma. Let's steer our way to Toma.
Basically just down the road from Black River Falls.
It yeah. is, just
one
down
hour
the interstate.
Down 94 and you're right there.
Yeah, you didn't have a long commute.
Nope, 30 minutes.
Wow.
Okay, so what did you do in this Toma episode? I admit I've yet to actually stream the show online, so give me a little bit of a preview.
And it's interesting because Mariah and I did an episode on Toma earlier,
mm-hmm.
so you dive into a whole new level of it, so I'm
a
really looking forward to seeing. Yeah.
Yeah, so on the day that we recorded, I remember it was like a perfect summer day. Sunny, temperature was great, and I just remember it being a really fun episode to experience just with the team, with the Discover Wisconsin team, with the producer, with the cinematographer. We all got to enjoy it together, which was really special. I've noticed on sometimes on certain shoots that the host is the one having all the fun, and everyone else is just, you know, hot and sweaty and just watching the host have fun.
Gee, I've never noticed that. Have you?
Never.
But on this episode in Toma, we all got to experience the local farmers market together. And then later that night, we all got to experience the local music festival called Music on Milwaukee. So, you know, it was just a day full of laughing and bonding and cracking jokes and talking to local farmers and musicians, to the people of Toma. So, like, as a team, it was just a really fun day together.
What was the name of it? The music festival?
Music on Milwaukee.
Music on Milwaukee.
I think it was Milwaukee Street.
Yeah. Okay.
That's very wild. Cool. So I have to assume I'm sure been to Toma many times as a kid, I would think.
Yeah. So Toma is a little bit bigger than Black River Falls. So they have certain things that Black River doesn't. And so when we, you know, for entertainment or shopping, we'll, you know, take a 30-minute cruise up there. Down there, I should say.
Well, Toma, you know, it is kind of a major crossroads. You know, all the interstates and the U.S. highways and the railroads, they all fork there, basically. So kind of, we've said that before, all roads lead to Toma. And mm-hmm. so when you go down there, I mean, it is kind of a center for a lot of things. A lot of
hotels
and everything.
I have accidentally veered off toward La Crosse when I meant to not veer
yeah,
off.
Yeah, don't miss that
La Crosse.
Exit.
I know, because when you do, you've got to go all the way around. It's so annoying. And
that's a bad one to miss.
I get distracted when I drive.
So what else were you checking out in town?
Well, the two biggest things, right, were in the middle of Gillette Park. They had a local farmers market, and what we were able to do was just walk around and interact with, you know, all the vendors, all the local farmers, the local food producers and stuff like that. And I just remember us all, you know, experience it together. And I just remember how good the food was. They would hand us samples, and I'm not sure if they hand everyone samples or whether they knew we were Discover Wisconsin, so they buttered us up a little bit.
But Jack, sometimes you get special treatment.
I'm yes. I loved it. I loved it. So we were munching on blueberries, strawberries, asparagus, cherry tomatoes. We had some local honey. We had some locally baked bread, and that was my favorite part, was the food.
You know what I love about small town farmers markets? They're so much more accessible. I've been to the big ones, and I love those too. But I will admit, sometimes when it's too crowded, it's hard to get into certain tents, certain vendors. Whereas every time I've gone to quite a few with the show, we tend to feature a lot of farmers markets in general. And I always seem to gravitate towards those that are just so much more accessible with, I don't remember, I've been to the Tomo one. I can't remember quite how many tents they have, but I'm talking like, you know, 20 tents or less is always, to me, you've got everything you need right there. You don't need 8 different versions of the same vegetable. Right.
And then it's that much more locally grown, locally sourced and everything.
The conversations usually mean a little bit more because you know people. And I love that.
I mean, there are farmers markets like in Milwaukee or Chicago. These farmers, they'll drive 4 or 5 hours to go to that farmers market.
That's crazy.
And like a Tomo one, I mean, they're all probably within 20, 30 minutes, or most of them at least. And a lot of cranberries involved, I would assume, depending on the time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's cranberry country.
The heart of cranberry country.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts you want to leave us with, Jack, either specifically about the Tomo episode and or your first season being under your belt with Discover Wisconsin?
Yeah, so my first season was a blast. It really was. I remember on this Tomo episode, it probably, you know, my most embarrassing moment came. I don't know. Do you guys have really embarrassing moments that happen sometimes on your episodes?
No.
Never.
Not us. Just you, Jack. Well, let's hear it, though.
How many gigabytes worth of bloopers do I have in this room somewhere?
Yeah, so I experienced my first. And so I was, it was that night. It was the local music festival. You know, they were getting me on camera interacting with the local people of Tomo. So I'd just go around, interact, chat, you know, just chumming up with those guys. And then the band started playing music that everyone loved. And so people started to stand up, move towards the stage, and started dancing. And to say I'm a bad dancer is really an understatement. I mean, at home, if I want to get my wife to laugh, all I do is try to dance, and she just laughs her head off. And so I'm standing there looking at our producer, at our cinematographer, just shaking my head. They're laughing because they know I don't want to dance. And, you know, I tried to give the people a little bit of dancing, you know, the safe swaying back and forth. I started lip syncing a little bit, but I'm sure, I haven't seen the episode yet, but I'm sure the editors took that out because Discover Wisconsin does not want to see me dance.
I pray they did not take it out.
Jack, here's a tip for you. Look in the ending credits. Because that's where they put the outtakes.
That's where the embarrassing stuff goes.
Oh, boy. They save that
so
footage.
So you just might find it right there.
I hope not.
And if not, I will do a little digging myself. I happen to know where this footage lives.
Please do
on
not.
Our server.
Please
and I not. Will make sure I play that bad boy on loop on the internet.
That could be my first TikTok. Kidding.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my
exactly.
God, yes.
Yeah, dancing's big on TikTok, right?
Good dancing. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jack, for joining us. I hope we get to bring you on here on a regular basis. It's so great hearing your voice and we can't see you. But we'll see you on TV when we watch the episode, which is you can watch it on broadcast if you tune into our show in a more traditional format. But I would encourage you to stream it on YouTube, also Roku, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, and Amazon Fire.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Aw, he's such a sweetie.
Yeah, it was
Jack
fun talking
Taylor.
With him.
Yeah. I will never play horse against him.
I will never score 138 times.
No free throw match, none of that. Nope.
I could play 138 games and he would beat me in points.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No, thank you. Okay, Dave. Audio Dave. Correction. Can I have you cue up some ominous music?
Ooh. How's that?
I'm scared.
Okay, so normally this is where I do a little review plug where I want you guys to leave a 5-star review. If you love us, make sure you do that. Okay, but what I really want to do is share with you a little email we received over the weekend.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay, so I'm calling it the Loch Ness Monster Visits Door County email. Following last week's Door County episode, here's what someone said to us. While we were on our honeymoon in June of 2011, the two of us, along with 5 or 6 others, saw something swimming in the bay just off of the Egg Harbor Marina. It was greenish brown, greater than 8 feet long, and there were 2 distinctive humps visible just under the surface of the water. It swam very quickly, and it was gone before anyone could get a photo. Neither my wife or I had been drinking, and we corroborated what we had seen with other witnesses on the dock. We did report it after we returned home, but we were told that we had probably seen a carp or a snake. Both of us have seen snakes and carp many times, and there was no way that this creature was either of the above. And no, we didn't imagine any of this.
Ooh.
Did they buy mushrooms at the store? And
I didn't mention any sort of mushroom purchase.
Well, so what you're saying is was confirmed here brewing, on the cabin. Loch Ness Monster.
Is it confirmed? Eric's questioning it. You seem like you're not a non-believer, Eric.
I'm a bit skeptical.
A bit skeptical? Dave, you into this kind of thinking?
I'll have to see it for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Are you a believer?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you see its face? Bum, 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 bum. Okay.
I don't know, but I'm all about, we'll have a spooky episode and we'll really dive into some of these tales.
Yes.
There is a lot of great material around talking about spooky Wisconsin and mysterious things.
Oh, guys,
in the
our
state, so.
October is going to be our best month of podcasting. I am pretty confident.
4 straight weeks just, of spooky Wisconsin.
Yeah, nonstop. Let's get a head start in
August. I'm booking it now.
We're going to record by candlelight and only candlelight.
We're close enough in this room right now.
I know, this is really dark.
It's pretty dark in here. You can't see this, but it's dark in here.
Was there a call to action attached to that story?
There is no call to action.
Oh, okay.
Besides, visit Door County and see for yourself if the Loch Ness Monster exists.
They were just letting us know.
We just wanted to share. We get some really fun fan mail every week, and I would encourage you guys to either leave your notes in their review of our podcast if you're on Apple Podcasts, or you can head to Around the Campfire, which is our Facebook group, or just find us on social media in general and let us know what you want us to share on the Cabin Podcast. That's the call to action.
Awesome. Love it.
All right. Well, are we ready to wrap this up?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for episode 20 of The Cabin. Next week, it's episode 21, Legal to Drink. And to celebrate our 21st episode, we're going to cover, not coincidentally, iconic Wisconsin bars.
I'm just now making that connection.
Ooh. All 23,000 of them. No, we have time limits. But yeah, it's going to be a fun one. We'll also be talking about a new episode of Discover Wisconsin called Beyond Dairy 2.0.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Audio Dave. Produced by me, Ellen Fallon, and Dave Janis. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Richard Baum's farm used to be filled with a small herd of 25 registered dairy cows, but now he's opened his farm to dryland sled dog competitions.
It's a family thing. You know, you'll see people here. I mean, everybody in the family is doing part of the race.
The Baum family got involved with sled dog racing because of their daughter's interest in animals. When the neighbor's husky had puppies, they adopted one. From that point on, their passion grew.
Well, that's one thing nice with the farming. It really fit in because we have the area to work with them. You can make trails and you can do training all year round.
He says there are many parallels with dairy farming and dog sled racing.
The feeding, the cleaning up, and the daily care of them. You know, it's the same as the cows.
Jan Boots Dittmar, who operates a dairy farm with her husband, has been racing for years and says it's become a real passion for her.
All I ever wanted was 4 dogs. That's all I ever wanted. And now I have 24, so.
She also sees several parallels with dog racing and dairy farming.
It's not a hobby anymore. Now it's just a way of life because you have to be out there taking care of them morning, noon, and night.
Jan also says it's not only the love of animals and the adrenaline rush, but something else which keeps her racing.
We are very competitive people, but if there's ever any problems, we can count on each other to help.
While farming may still be part of Jan's life, the Baums are happy that their farm is still a place for animals and people to work together. And now you know your Wisconsin.